Again, everybody. So if you've been with us for the past few weeks, you know that we had begun, and today we're going to finish up. We've been walking through a series on our vision, our FCC vision. So just quickly, just by way of reminder, and you've got it up there on the screen in front of you, remember our vision really has three parts to it. The first part is first and foremost, right? It's a passionate love for God. We want to be passionately loving God. Remember, we talked about how that really starts with His love for us. We don't love Him out of our own self. We love Him because He first loved us. But we do want to passionately be loving Him. And then that leads us, because God loves people, He calls us to love people. The same way He's loved us, He says, love those around you. So we call that sacrificially loving others. And then that brings us to the third point where we're pressing in again today. And that's courageously making disciples of Jesus Christ. A few weeks ago, we talked about really kind of the first aspect of what it means to make disciples. To be making disciples, we talked about a few weeks ago, it really starts with the gospel. Kind of what I call the show and tell of the gospel. I want to be living and speaking out who Jesus is, so that those around me, in my family, in my neighborhood, in my church, in my work, so that those around me both see and hear who is Jesus, so they can come to know Jesus, so they can be born again, is the way Jesus said it in John chapter 3. Today we're going to talk about the second aspect of making disciples, and that's where we're going to press in. And what we're calling it today, it's believers discipling believers. Believers, those who follow Jesus Christ by faith, who've repented of sin and trust in Jesus, come alongside other believers in Jesus to help us grow in Him. So, right, first we talk about helping people be born into this faith. And now we're talking about not leaving them as babes, but growing. I've shared some of this story before, but really it's appropriate for me to share this again. Some years back, I'd been working with youth for a long time, and I slid out of youth and slid over into adult ministry. And one of the many pots I had my hands in was adult men ministry, which I'd already been serving in, doing some stuff in, but I became the leader of this men's ministry at this church, which is a joy for me. And one of the very first things I did was I began to build a ministry for men to disciple men. And not that that wasn't going on at that church, just like it's going on here. I'm sitting here looking at Chad Burns. There's a man who's discipling men right there and being discipled, right? There's that give and take relationship. But I wanted to build an intentional ministry that was geared for this, to help men come alongside other men, believers with believers, to help us grow in Christ. And so I put out sign-up sheets, you know, we're talking about the ministry, all those things. And one particular day, I was this church had two levels. I was upstairs in what we had, a little cafe, the little coffee bar there, coffee, tea. And I saw a guy who I knew pretty well, but not really well. But I recognized his name was not on the list. He hadn't signed up for these men's discipleship groups. And so I asked him, I said, hey, I see your name's not on the list. I said, you know, is there more information I can give to you? Is there a way that I can help you understand? Is there something holding you back? And he said, well, tell me more about it. I said, how do these groups work? What's the point? And so we sat down together there in the cafe, just the two of us, nobody else is around. And I began to kind of give him my little spiel. And here's the way I said it then, and what we're talking about today is really the same idea. I said, Jim, what these groups are about, it's about men doing life with other men, men walking alongside other men to help all of us grow in Jesus Christ. I said, it's talking about letting our masks fall to the ground so that we can be real and do life with one another, seeking Jesus, but being real. It means being known and loved, both and knowing other brothers in the Lord and loving them. You know, being known and being loved, that can be a hard prospect. Because a lot of people struggle with a fear that if you really knew me, there's no way you could love me. But let's think about that for a quick moment, brothers and sisters. Who knows us fully and intimately and loves us still? It's the Lord Jesus. It's the whole point of the gospel. God so loved the world, means the people, the sinful people in the world. He so loved us that the Holy Father gave his Holy Son. So that fear that was holding my buddy back, when I shared with him this vision of men coming alongside men, being real, growing in real relationship as we seek Jesus together, this is what he said to me. When I lined out my vision for this ministry, he said, and I'm going to quote, but not exactly, he said, "Mike, that scares the heck out of me." Only he didn't say heck. And he gave me a good gift that day. He helped me to understand that there are real fears that people have that are going to hold them back from entering into the kinds of relationships that we're going to have to enter into if we're going to really fulfill the call of Jesus to make disciples. Because making disciples, remember, it doesn't just mean helping people come to know Jesus. It also then means brothers and sisters coming alongside brothers and sisters in real relationship. Think dropping the masks that we all can wear and letting people in and entering into the messiness of our lives together so that we can grow in Christ. And that's where we're headed today. That's what we're looking at today in the scriptures. Will you pray with me? Father, we're looking at you today, and we're asking you to work. Lord, I thank you that there are folks who are already involved in discipling relationships, and Lord, I pray that you would only encourage and strengthen our hearts. And Lord, for those who maybe for fear or maybe for some other reason are not engaged in discipling relationships, Lord, I pray that you would, by your Holy Spirit, through your word, Lord, we pray that you would change our minds, that you would convince us that this is your will and this is how you want to work in the earth. This is how you want to bring increase to your work, your kingdom here on this planet, is through believers, not only giving the gospel to unbelievers, but believers walking alongside other believers to see spiritual growth happen. Lord, move in us. Lord, anything in us that's in the way, Lord, any roadblocks, whether we've intentionally put them up or maybe we've unwittingly grabbed a hold of something that's not true, Lord, blow through those things. Move in our lives, Lord Jesus. And we pray this in Jesus' strong name and for your glory, God. Amen. So this morning, we're going to start by going back to Matthew 28. Verses 18, 19, and 20. This is where we left off. This is what we call the Great Commission. Remember, we saw there in Matthew 28, starting in verse 18, remember Jesus says, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given unto me." Remember, he said that all authority had been given to him. Remember, he was responding to some of the fear, some of the doubt of his disciples that we read about in just the verses before this. He says, "All authority has been given unto me. Heaven and earth." And then he says this, "So as you're going along, the command is be making disciples." And then he explained what that means. He says, "Make disciples of all the nations." And he starts to play that out. He says, "Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe," which means obey. He says, "Teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." We talked last time about some of the promises there, about he's going to be with us, and he's going to be our power and strength. He's the one that's going to go before. But the real issue here is that we need courage. You know, this third point of our vision, we say it's courageously making disciples of Jesus Christ. And we don't just need courage to be about the gospel. Although we do, I do. You know, and I got to tell you, the more I follow Jesus, courage and faith, they look awfully similar to me. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure that I can divide the two. Courageously making disciples doesn't just mean making babes in Christ, but helping those babes in Christ, in other words, someone who's just crossed from death into life, who's turned away from sin and received Jesus by faith, but now helping those same people grow in Jesus. And the goal is spiritual maturity. The goal here is to grow into spiritually mature followers of Jesus. We talked about making disciples means helping people become learners and followers and reproducers, but that doesn't just mean in the sense of the gospel. It also means in the second sense that we're looking at today, of believers coming alongside believers. So it's building relationships for the gospel so that we have the opportunity to tell someone about Jesus that doesn't know Jesus yet. But then really, discipling believers is the same idea. It's you and me preaching the gospel of Jesus to one another as believers. You say, but we already know the gospel. Yeah, but the truth is, I need to be reminded of the gospel. You know, the Porterfields shared this just a minute ago. Now, they talked about how in Turkey, there's this idea that people can create their own righteousness and therefore come to God. We believe that lie here too, don't we? That's in our society too. The truth is, it's all around us. And it's trying to take our eyes as followers of Christ off of the true gospel, which is the Jesus plus nothing plan. What I need is Jesus. There's nothing else that can make me have a relationship with a holy God. It's Jesus alone. You know, I'm going to step aside here out of kind of my message for just a quick moment. You know, the Lord's doing good things here at FCC, and I mean that sincerely. I am encouraged. I see good things happening. There are people growing. We have new people coming to our church, hearing the gospel. Amen. But brothers and sisters, if our church is growing, if there are good things going on, if people come on a Sunday morning and we praise the Lord and we lift up Jesus and we give and we receive the preaching of the word, if we're doing those things, but if we're not about the business of making disciples, then we are failing. And I know that's strong, but I believe it's that true. If we are about the business of churchiness, but we are not in the business of helping other people come to know and grow in Jesus, then we are not obeying the call of our head, Jesus Christ. This is serious business. I'm going to tell you, when I get the end of my days, whatever the end of my days are, when I get the end of my days, I do not want to look back and see a waste of my life. I want to be using this life. This is not why I'm a pastor. This is how I want to follow Jesus. I want to use this life for eternity. That means helping unbelievers come to know him and being a part of these type of discipling relationships with other believers so that we all, me too, so that we all grow in what it means to be a follower and a reproducer for the Lord Jesus. That's why he's left us here. That's why we're here. That's why I am in Delaware. That's why my family lives where we live in that house and that neighborhood. That's why you work at your job. That's why he put you in the family you're in. This is our purpose. This is our purpose, this twofold purpose, making disciples, the gospel, and helping other believers to grow. Where we see this there in Matthew 28. You know, there's two things, and we're gonna speak directly about one of those. There's two main presses here that Jesus gives. When he says making disciples, and he says baptizing them and teaching them. Now, today, our purpose today is not to talk about the baptizing, but quickly, baptism, I think of baptism as two main ideas. It's identifying with Christ and his church. It means what's happened inside of me, I'm now going public with. I'm going public. I belong to Jesus. I serve a new master. I don't serve myself or the evil one anymore. I now belong to Jesus. He bought and paid for me with his life. So it's I'm identifying with Jesus and his church, and it's also obedience. And we see it right here. Jesus commands believers as we make disciples. Part of that is baptizing believers to show this going public. But what we're going to press down into today is the secondary idea of teaching them to obey all that Jesus has commanded. And that's what we're doing. When we come alongside one another, it's helping each other to obey the Lord in all that he said. And do you see how reproduction is built into the DNA here? If Jesus saves people, and then those people help other people come to know Jesus, and then become those who reproduce, and those disciples become disciple makers who then make disciples who then make disciples. You see, reproduction is built into the DNA. That's all Jesus' idea. That's all him. And that's what we want to do. Today, it's about helping other believers grow towards spiritual maturity. That's the idea. This idea of not just making decisions, but making disciples. Helping believers become growing, maturing followers of Christ. So if the what is spiritual growth towards maturity, and that's kind of our baseline here. What we're after is spiritual maturity, growth towards spiritual maturity. We're going to look at two passages quickly that kind of undergird this idea, okay? The first is Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. This is the Holy Spirit speaking through the Apostle Paul, and he's going to list out four spiritual gifts. But then he's going to tell us why he gives these. He gives gift to people, and then he gives these gifted people to the church for a purpose. And we're going to see the purpose that he gives these gifts. It says, and he, God, gave some as apostles and some as prophets. Now, apostles and prophets, those aren't on the earth anymore. They're not here on the earth anymore. Not capital A and capital P. Apostles and prophets were the people that the Lord used in the early days, the founding of the church, and when the New Testament was still being written. The church is not being founded anymore. It's been founded. And the New Testament is not being written anymore. It's been written, and the canon is closed. But he says he gave some as apostles and prophets, and then he says, and some as evangelists. Now, there's still those today. And then he lists this fourth gift, which is a combination of two. He says, pastors and teachers. And he says he's given them, verse 12, for the equipping of the saints. Now, who are the saints? You know, a saint is not some super spiritual person that's got a gold ring around their head. That's not what a saint is. You know what a saint is, right? It's you. It's followers of Jesus. A saint is simply someone who's been saved and therefore set apart or sanctified for the purposes of God on this earth. And that's what we're talking about today. He says, for the equipping of the saints. So my job as a pastor teacher is not to do the work of the ministry. There's no way Pastor John and I and Pastor Russ, there's no way three pastors, we can't do the work of the ministry. It's our job as pastor teachers to equip you, the saints, to do the work of the ministry. Or here, the way it said, the work of the service. He says, so we're to equip you to do the work of the service. Then we serve together. And then he says this, to the building up of the body of Christ. That's what we're talking about today. To the building up of the body of Christ. Did you know God does not just want to use pastor types? He wants to use you. Yeah, you. If you are in Christ, he wants to use you to build up the brothers and sisters around you for his purposes. That's what we're talking about today. But it gets even better. Verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man. There's our word. To a mature man. There's that word. To be a mature man. To be a mature woman. To be a mature follower of Jesus. That's his goal for us. And he wants to use every one of us in the lives of each other. Let's go into the next verse, Colossians 1, verse 28. This is classic Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul. Classic. Look what he says. We proclaim him. No, Paul, I understand you preach Jesus, but what's the point? I mean, what's the heart of your man? That's it. We proclaim him. Paul, what's the point of your message, though? Jesus. That you would believe in Jesus, that you would grow in trusting Jesus, that you would grow in loving the one who has loved your soul so well. Oh, man, it don't get no better than that. We proclaim him, admonishing, that means warning. We proclaim Jesus. This is no easy believism, folks. This is no fake gospel here. He says, we proclaim the real Jesus. Which means apart from him, you cannot be saved. He says, we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom. And why, Paul? Why, Holy Spirit, are you doing this through your Apostle Paul? Why are you working this way? So that we may present every man complete in Christ. You know what that word complete is? In the New Testament, in the original Greek, is the exact same word as in Ephesians 4, mature. Exact same word. And it helps us to see the idea of that word. It means nothing's missing. It means, you know, it's been fulfilled. It's all there. Complete, mature, lacking nothing. And that's what we're after. And here's the point of today's message. Jesus wants to use you, brother or sister in Jesus. If you are a follower of Jesus, he wants to use you. Yes, you. You say, no, Mike, I got too much struggle with sin in my life. Join the club. You say, no, I've not been to seminary. It's okay. He wants to use you in the lives of the brothers and sisters around you to help all of us grow to become mature, complete followers of Jesus Christ. He's got you in mind. He's got me in mind. So if that's the what, if the what is spiritual growth to maturity, then the how is what we're talking about today, discipling relationships. Let's look at two more verses quickly. 2 Timothy 2:22. The Lord saved me out of sexual immorality. I had so many ugly, huge, big sin ruts in my life, but one of the biggest was sexual immorality. This is the single verse that the Lord has used the most. There are many verses that he used to grow me and to help me come out of the stuck spot I was in, those ruts, to bring me to a place of strength and victory over those sins that had dogged me for years. This verse, I call it a sermon in a verse. Look at what he says. Now flee the immoral lusts of youth. Flee. Run away. Mike, you weren't made to stand and fight immorality. You were made to tuck tail and run. Because this stuff is bigger than you. Yeah, it is. Flee. And then the second part of the sermon in a verse. And pursue. Okay, so I'm supposed to run away from this thing. I'm supposed to run towards something. Righteousness, faith, love, and peace. You know what that means? Pursue the Lord. Be in the Word. Pursue fellowship. That's how you find righteousness, faith, love, and peace. But notice the verse doesn't stop there. And the reason why we're looking at this verse today, this is the point. Because the sermon in a verse, it has a third part to it. You see what it is? Hey, if you want to grow in Jesus, flee these immoral lusts, pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, but you can't do it alone. Do this with those who seek God from a pure heart. No, this is just me and Jesus. No, it's not. It's you and Jesus and the people that Jesus has saved and put alongside you to help you grow. No Lone Ranger Christian lie here. None of that. With those who are pursuing God, who are seeking God, who are leaning in, who are in the hunt. You know what that means? It means other brothers and sisters who want to grow just like you, who are struggling with stuff just like you. Praise Jesus. This is the way he set it up. He's given me Jesus with skin on. That's you. That's me. That's the way he meant it. This is all his idea. One more quick verse, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. Again, classic Paul. He's writing to the Thessalonians there, one of those Turkish now churches there in Thessalonica, and he says, having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, as if that weren't enough. Paul, you gave us Jesus, man. What do you mean? He says, we didn't only impart the gospel to you, but our lives. Because you'd become so dear to us. You hear this? Do you see what's going on? This is about sharing life. This isn't like some kind of closely cut delineated message and then I run off the podium and don't know you. This is life on life. This is loving people with your life. Not just the message of the gospel. You know what I hear? I hear sharing life. I hear doing life together. Not superficial. You know, I'm a guy. And as guys, you know, we get together like, say, yeah, how's work? Eh, fine. Hey, weather's good. Into beautiful weather? Yeah, how's your golf game? If we keep it at that level, we've already lost. Brothers, if you ever sit down with me and we keep it at that level, shoot me now. That is not what we're here for. We've got to go deeper. We've got to press in and say, how are you doing spiritually? How are you following Jesus today? Are you doing all right? Now be honest with me, brother. And let me be honest with you. But if we're going to drop those masks, what's it mean? It means we've got to have courage. It means I've got to have my eyes on Jesus, because if I really let you know me, you might not love me. Because, folks, I'm messy. Can you relate? I'm messy. I struggle. And I need people who can relate. You know, one of the ways I think about this, you can think of discipling relationships with someone older than you, more mature than you, or younger than you, less mature than you, or amongst peers. And as I think about these three kind of different categories, there's specific men that the Lord brings to my mind, and the list is way too long. My list could go on forever. I've been in Jesus for 30 some odd years, and the vast majority of that time, the Lord has blessed my socks off with close relationships with men. And I've needed every one of those brothers. I've needed them desperately. I think of a guy named Torin Anderson. He was the first person to share the grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ with a young punk named Mike Andrews. I still remember, I was sitting in my dorm room. My desk was right here. Here was the door open just like this. I'm sitting there. I probably was not studying. I did not do a lot of that at that time. And literally there's a knock. It's an afternoon. There's a knock at the door. It's early in the semester. And there's some older dude I've never met standing there. And he says, hey, can I talk to you about spiritual things? I didn't even know what he was talking about. But what he wanted to talk to me about, I didn't know it yet, brothers and sisters, but it was the very thing I needed. Because what he had come to talk to me about was Jesus. Not religion, not church, not his group. He had come to talk to me about Jesus Christ. And that's who I needed. There's nothing else I needed like I needed Jesus. So I remember Torin Anderson, and he wasn't just a part of my life helping me to come to know who Jesus was, passing from death to life. He then became a friend and an older brother. He discipled me. Among other things, he gave me my first Christian music tape, because music, man, I got to tell you, the devil's music, and I mean that sense, that might sound like redneck or something, but the devil's music really did have a hold on me. And he gave me my first Christian tape where Jesus was openly praised. And I got to tell you, I know every word of every song on that tape. I think of a guy named Mike Walker, who's 11 years older than me, a New Jersey boy, who had come down to go to graduate school at Clemson. I love that both these guys are from Clemson. I loved them anyway. I learned to love them. My blood runneth Carolina blue, their blood runneth orange. It's all right. Blood of Jesus covers all that. But I think of Mike Walker. I remember calling him more than once, and one time in particular, I was sitting on the floor of my dorm room, the same dorm room where I had received Christ, and I was crying. I was reading my Bible, and I was discouraged because I didn't understand what I was reading, and I felt condemned. And so I called Mike Walker, and he said, Mike, you stopped too early. Keep reading. Because you've been saved, you're not that man anymore. He encouraged me. He helped me to get my eyes off of my sin and put my eyes back where they belong, on the Savior. Years later, when Sharon and I got engaged, we went to Mike and his wife Cindy. And we said, will y'all disciple us through premarriage counseling? And they did. They loved us so good. And then after we got married, they were our marriage counselors, because we really struggled. I think of younger guys that have discipled. There's way too many. But I think one in particular, Wes Stewart, who I still remember my first real conversation with him. I was his youth pastor. I knew who he was. But the first real conversation, we're sitting on a couch in the youth room at my old church. And I started by, I said, so Wes, what kind of stuff do you like to do? And he said, well, I like to play computer games. I said, well, what kind of computer games do you like to play? And we were off to the races. Well, Wes Stewart, for many years now, has been a missionary to a country that borders Turkey. And he reaches out to Muslims. That's what he's spending his life to do. That kid spurs me on. I think of another young guy named Mike Ringer, who when I first met was a gangling young eighth grade boy. With all the stuff going on in his life that's going on in an eighth grade boy's life. And my wife Sharon told me she saw on Facebook just the other day that he and his very godly wife Katie, I got to perform their wedding ceremony many years ago. They've already got two girls. They just completed the adoption process. They got a little boy now. And they're loving Jesus. I think of peers in my life. The Lord has used so many men alongside of me. I think of my early days, a guy named Eddie Wetmore and a guy named Ed Russ. As young undergrads, baby believers, we learned together how to run and gun for Jesus. We learned how to fight spiritual battles together. We learned how to pray for each other together. Those guys are near and dear to my heart. Always will be. I think some other guys later on in my life, a guy named Mark LaMandola, Eric Vaughn, and Scott Ringer, the dad of Michael Ringer. I was in a discipling group with these three guys and several others for more than a decade. Those guys have walked with me through racking losses and grief, and I with them. I mean, you think of some of the worst stuff. I think about when one of our kids almost died. And it was these guys, right? It was these guys. When I was a blubbering mess, it was these guys that came downtown to Houston to Texas Children's Hospital. As our marriages have hit rocks and walls, these guys, we have held each other up. This is how the Lord wants to use you and me in each other's lives. You know, the reality is no matter whether it's with older or younger or peers, at least to some degree, discipling always goes both directions. There's not a single young fellow that I've tried to build into that the Lord hasn't used him in my life to bless me. Not a one. Just this past week in staff meeting, I see Felicia sitting back here. I see John sitting right here. Just this past week in staff meeting, we have a prayer time at the end of every staff meeting. And we pray for the church. We pray for missionaries. We pray for people struggling. We pray for people to be saved. We pray for ourselves. And I got to tell you, we prayed around that room, and I was humbled, and I was challenged, and I was encouraged by every single staff member about how they prayed, about how they talked to Jesus. We're rubbing off on each other. We're helping each other. As we seek the Lord, the people God's put around us, He wants to use each of us in each other's lives. And folks, this is not supposed to be an optional thing. This is supposed to be an essential thing. You got in your bulletin today something that looks like this. It says here, I'm seeking a discipling relationship. And I want you to consider today, before you leave today, I just want you to consider it. This is a program we're trying to start. One of my favorite profs in seminary, Howard Hendricks, he would say this. He'd say, discipling is not a program. It can't be programmed. But it is about people-on-people relationship, and it is a process. It's not a program. It's about people and a growing process. He's got it right. He's got it right. So whether you're a man or a woman or a girl or a boy or you're looking for an older or a younger, if you want to be involved in this process, if you don't have a discipling relationship yet, and if you want to be in one, then please put your name on that slip of paper and turn it in. There's a wooden box out here at the welcome desk. You can put it in on your way out. If you want to hold it for a few days and pray, that's okay. You know, but if you put your name on the list, it's not like, you know, I'm going to dog you. I will call you. But this is what we're asking you to consider. Do you want to do this? Do you want to come alongside another believer? The real question is, will you follow Jesus' call to be a disciple who makes disciples? Will you follow the Savior's call to be a disciple who helps other disciples grow in Jesus? And you'll be helped as well. I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. That buddy of mine who, you know, he said to me, "Mike, that scares the heck out of me." Well, that buddy, guess what? Now you know what's going on in his life? He's a leader in a men's group that seeks to help men come to know Jesus and grow in Jesus. So, ha! He's growing. When I first talked to him about this years ago, he was like this. But you know what's happened in the interim years? Jesus has helped him to pull that hand in and to help drop those masks and to have courage in Jesus and to say, "Jesus, use me." That's what it's all about. Now, some of you are already in discipling relationships. Again, I look around the room, I see many of you who are in Bible studies where you've got close relationships, growing relationships. There are many of you who are leading or serving, who come alongside other people. Amen. But if you're not yet, remember, I'm not talking about kind of an easy relationship. I'm talking about a relationship that is intentional. If you're not in an intentional discipling relationship and you want to be, please put your name, please write it legibly on that piece of paper. Will you open up your heart? Will you open up your life to the Lord and be willing to be a blessing to another person and to be blessed by God through another person? Will you unleash the power of God by walking alongside somebody else and letting them know you and love you? That's the question for the day. We're talking about sharing life. We're talking about serving together. We're talking about praying for one another. Think how much you have to gain, and also think how much you have to give. Now, you may be sitting here today saying, "I don't have much to give." You leave that part up to the Lord. You have more to give than you realize. You do. You do. There's older folks here who have life experience, have wisdom from years of walking with the Lord, and younger folks need it. There's younger folks here who desperately need to understand more about the wisdom of God and need some of that life experience. And everybody here will be blessed by coming alongside the life of another. That is the truth. That is the reality. And everyone has love to give, no matter if you're older or younger, newer in the faith or been in the faith for 70 years. Everybody has love to give. Will you pray with me? Father, we're looking to you. The need is sure. Lord, you didn't put us on this earth and then just say, "Everybody stay siloed in your own little life. You got the Holy Spirit, that's enough." Lord, you've not said that. You've given us about 60 one another commands, calling us into the lives of one another. Lord, move in us. Lord, change us to be about your business. We love you. We thank you for loving us and giving us to one another. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.